Joe about Fillmore Street. This is SpielPod.com. The Week in Georgia in English coming to you from San Francisco's core, the Lower Hate. Today is Thursday, the 7th of September, 2017. On this date in 70, Roman General Titus plunders Jerusalem. 1543, Duke Wilhelm of Gulick surrenders to Emperor Charles V. 1813, Uncle Sam is first used by the Troy Post of New York. 1936, a Hoover Dam begins operation under its first name, the Boulder Dam. 1986, Desmond Tutu becomes the Anglican Archbishop of Cape Town. Also in 1986, the failed assassination attempt of Chilean dictator Augusto Pinochet kills five people. And in 1999, a 5.9 magnitude earthquake rocks Athens, rupturing the previously unknown fault line and killing 14. Birthdays are Queen Elizabeth I in 1533 and Buddy Holly in 1936. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. Podcast is written by Robin Bortner. If you'd like to comment, forum, ask a question, go to tpeelpod.com or send us an email at tpeelpod@gmail.com. Tbilisi City Court found Archpriest Gheorghe Mamaladze guilty of plotting to murder the Patriarch's assistant secretary, Shodena Tetruashvili, and illegally storing firearms. We followed this case when it was much more in the news before the closed case. She is allegedly sort of the gray cardinal of the Patriarch's funds, which are incredibly substantial. Mamaladze was sentenced to 9 years in prison. He was caught last February, allegedly smuggling cyanide onto a plane headed to Berlin, where the Patriarch was hospitalized. Originally, it was assumed that the Patriarch was the intended target. Case was labeled top secret by the prosecutor's office. The trial was closed to the public, unfortunately. Nobody's happy with the proceedings for a host of different reasons. One human rights group said there wasn't enough evidence to identify the target, and another criticized the secretary. And yet another thought the charges were deflated due to church pressure. The public defender was upset about the evidence rules used. Some church officials said the whole affair is an elaborate distraction constructed by shadowy clerics. Streak of wildfires has continued this week. The Borjomi region remains the area most badly affected. There have been many small ones across the country. Even Tatsminda Mountain has seen two fires and several hectares burned. Currently, all the active fires are contained. Because of the extensive international aid needed to fight these fires, the government has launched an investigation into disaster preparation. At a special meeting, Prime Minister Gheorghe Kvitikashvili said he plans to fund a crisis council next year, which will be responsible for planning and executing systemic responses to disaster. He also wants to allocate resources for updated equipment and training courses. The opposition is trying to make political hay over Kvitikashvili's alleged request for Russian firefighting aid. He did not confirm authorizing this request, but nonetheless justified considering Moscow aid due to the gravity of the fire. The Ministry of Foreign Affairs said that a cable was sent from Tbilisi to Russia through the Swiss embassy, after which Moscow announced its readiness to help. There's been finger-pointing among other government officials over who was involved in the request, but it's all rumor. The opposition said that any request to Russia was entirely unacceptable due to the fact that Russia started fires in Borjomi during the 2008 war, and they think that Russia would use the opportunity to advance its influence over Georgia. In an unexpected turn of events, South Korean delegation led by the deputy speaker of their legislature arrived in Tbilisi and promised to help fund in the replanting efforts. During his meeting, South Korea reciprocated last week's condemnation of North Korea by reaffirming Georgia's territorial integrity. The Georgian delegation had just arrived from Azerbaijan, where it asked for support against North Korea. Georgia's hosting the 7th annual U.S.-led military exercise called Agile Spirit. It will run until the 7th of September at a military base in the southwest. 500 troops will be taking part in drills, including 500 military personnel from the U.S. Marine Corps forces in Europe and Africa. The stated goal is to increase international military interoperability and boost regional capabilities. U.S. military equipment was ferried in through the port at Poti, including M1 Abrams battle tanks. At the opening event, President Gheorghe Margvelashvili emphasized Georgia's role in protecting global security and stability. Agile Spirit was initially a bilateral U.S.-Georgian military exercise, but it expanded in 2015. Armenia, invited to participate along with Azerbaijan, did not respond and therefore maintains the line that it did not refuse. These ridiculous linguistic gymnastics reflect their complex and tricky position. The Armenian military sometimes participates in Russian-led exercises with Belarus and other Central Asian and Central Asian states, and it also doesn't like to participate in exercises with Azeri forces. However, it doesn't want to completely come off the fence by upsetting its relations with the U.S. and Georgia, and has participated fairly recently in NATO exercises. Three Georgian soldiers were injured during NATO operations in Afghanistan after a suicide bomber attacked Bagram Air Base. One soldier, Senior Lieutenant Iveri Bladze, is currently in critical condition and undergoing surgery. The injuries of the other two are relatively minor. Currently, 870 Georgians are deployed in Afghanistan, making it the fourth largest contributor to the mission and largest non-NATO participant. The operation has taken the lives of 32 Georgian soldiers. After the non-starter of discussions on constitutional reforms last week, a coalition of 10 parliamentary and non-parliamentary opposition parties sent a letter of appeal to the Venice Commission. They maintained their position that these reforms are only good for Otsneba and not for Georgia's overall democracy. They want the Venice Commission to call out the parts of the reform as undemocratic. 11 NGOs, including the hardest-working NGO in the Caucasus, Transparency International Georgia, issued a statement once again criticizing the major last-minute changes to the new constitution and urging Otsneba to wait until the final ruling before putting the draft to a vote in parliament. The president of the commission said that they will give their final ruling on the revised draft at the meeting on the 6th of October. So far, the commission has been supportive of shifting to a full parliamentary democracy, but concerned about last-minute pushback, the reforms to 2024, and the lack of political consensus. With the ruling coming so close to the 21st of October municipal elections, it's likely that this will be a significant campaign issue. Municipal elections, there's now an eighth candidate in the Tbilisi's mayor race. New Unity for Georgia, a coalition of four non-parliamentary parties formed this January, named former UNM Deputy Justice Minister Georgi Vashadze. In office, he worked to develop the public service hall. He's a pretty aggressive guy. He campaigned on a platform valuing security, education, economics. He detailed his plan for reorganizing local government structure to be more efficient. In general, inefficiency and corruption has been the coalition's critique of Otsneba. They've joined together promising to replace sloppy and corrupt administrators with competent professionals. Certainly a big issue. The municipal elections race is now in full force. Signs are up throughout the city. Campaigners and door-to-door is happening. New political offices have been opened. So far, Otsneba seems to be focusing on mobilizing its base, while the other parties, especially those with more modest resources, criticize the actions of the ruling party. The city council race, Prime Minister Georgi Kvitikashvili announced the party's 25 candidates for the single-seat constituencies, which make up half the council. The other 25 seats are proportionally allocated. 11 of the 25 nominees are incumbents. In his speech, Kvitikashvili said that his election goal is a controlling majority of over 50%. Also at the event, Kvitikashvili unveiled several development plans for the Kutaisi region. A logistics center will be built near Kutaisi Airport, which will be connected by rail link currently under construction. Also, he plans to work with the Kartu Fund to realize the Kutaisi University City envisioned research and education center. Nobody mentioned it, of course, but that was first discussed under Misha. European Georgia, the group that Misha's UNM split from, has been accepted as an observer party to the center-right pro-EU coalition called European People's Party, or EPP. UNM has been a member of the coalition since 2008. EPP operates as a network to connect and promote ideologically similar parties across Europe. Broadly, they advocate a unified Europe, free trade, and economic growth. Annual EPP convention was held this week in Copenhagen. Misha also attended the convention. Since his arrival in Poland, he's been drumming up support with EU leaders. The EPP didn't take a public position on Misha's situation, but it posted photos of a meeting with him accompanied by neutral statements. After the meeting, Misha announced with bravado that he would return to Ukraine on the 10th of September to continue his fight against oligarchs. He predicted that Ukrainian officials would do nothing to stop him and that his supporters would be out in force. Ukraine responded saying they will not let him enter, a statement which made Misha vow to live in a tent on the border if necessary. In case the return is successful, the Georgian prosecutor's office resubmitted its extradition request, and the Ukrainian Justice Ministry responded, promising to review the request. For those of you like me who have driven into Ukraine, I don't think he's going to hang out in a tent on the border for very long. NGO Freedom House published its latest report on human rights in Abkhazia and South Ossetia. Abkhazia was labeled as partly free, but criticized for a list of problems including flawed criminal justice system, discrimination against ethnic Georgians, periodic political violence, government control of media. However, some opposition is tolerated on the internet among small media organizations. South Ossetia was considered not free due to the large amount of government restrictions on civil society and overall dependence on Russia. The report also cited the frequent arrest of harassment of journalists and the censure of almost all opposition parties. Controversy over the closed Turkish school in Batumi continues. On the 31st of August, Education Director Tamar Sanikidze made a public statement defending the government's decision to close the school. She claimed the Turkish founders were pushing the school's curriculum to include a radical ideology, and they falsified documents. School Director Nino Kaftiashvili responded, saying these allegations are not true. She added that the government records reflect that the education ministry had approved the school's curriculum and administration in the past, and there have been no changes. The evidence still seems pretty clear that the closure is due to pressure from the Turkish government, and that the Georgian government is caving into it. It has nothing to do with education standards, radical ideology, late forms, or poor paperwork. 18-day hunger strike by the Georgian railway employees ended on the 1st of September due to failing health of many of those participating. None of the demands were met. Meeting between the company and strikers was never held. However, the workers vow to continue fighting in court. Stricter regulations on granting citizenship to foreigners being developed by President Gyurki Margvelashvili and the Ministry of Justice. The rationale given is the increased demand for Georgian passports following visa-free access to the EU. Currently, foreigners who have resided in Georgia for 5 years, who have employment or real estate, and who have knowledge of the language and legislative system can qualify. Marriage reduces the residency requirement to 2 years. There is a second exceptional procedure which allows the president to grant citizenship to individuals who have made an outstanding contribution to the country. This second citizenship pass seems to be the real target of the reform, as it's unclear what counts as an outstanding contribution. However, both paths could be up for an overhaul. President of the European Bank for Reconstruction and Development, EBRD, made his third visit to Georgia since 2012. He met with the finance minister, council of investors, group of entrepreneurs and investors who advise the prime minister. The bank is a key financer for private sector industries, last year spending $250 million in Georgia. Also strongly supports developing free trade area within the EU. At the meeting, there was a lot of praise given to Georgia's economic progress and promise of future investment. Popular Formula One driver Zoe Whitaker has launched a project in Georgia called Race with Zoe. She's working with the Georgian Chamber of Commerce in the UK, Georgia's ambassador to the UK, and several Georgian companies to promote tourism, road safety, and gender equality. She also wants to increase Georgia's profile as an international sports destination. The idea was initiated by her friend, who exports Georgian wine to Britain. Some of the phases of the project are still in development, but she's already visited, gushed about the country on social media, and arranged some promotional events. Also in tourism, Democracy and Freedom Watch report that 52 foreigners have been safely rescued in the mountains this summer. Unfortunately, two Germans have not been found after their attempt to climb the difficult Svaneti peak Ushba. It's hard to unearth good comparative statistics about the amount of rescue operations, but incidents are reported fairly frequently due to the amount of inexperienced climbers who attempt difficult routes without proper preparation. Foreign Minister Janelidze visited Belarus for the first time on the 5th of September. They signed a program of cooperation document concerning infrastructure and energy projects. Bilateral trade's been increasing. Projects hope to make it easier as part of its increasingly close relationship with Georgia. Minsk hosted its third annual Tbili Soba Festival right before the visit, which was attended by a record 55,000 people. It's a two-day celebration of Georgian folk music, dance, and food. Features a dance party going late into the night. The festival is coordinated by the Georgian Embassy, Borjomi Water Company, and city officials from Minsk and Tbilisi. 40th Eurobasket Basketball Championship was started. Georgian team squeaked out a victory against host team Israel in overtime, and will advance out of their group. The team is led by NBA star Zaza Pachulia, who scored 19 points. So far in the tournament, Georgia is 2-2, beating Lithuania, but losing to Ukraine and Germany. Soccer World Cup qualifying tournament, Georgia hosted Ireland last weekend and drew 1-1. but is fairly likely to advance this year. Parliamentary news, the Human Rights and Civil Integration Committee of Georgia's Parliament pledged to mark International Day Against Homophobia and Transphobia, which is held on the 17th of May. They will support public events that speak out against hate crimes. This past May, several LGBT groups demonstrated peacefully alongside opposition groups celebrating Family Purity Day. The committee also promised to hold hearings about combating hate crimes. Despite this pledge, the committee chair continued to support the current government position that eliminating discrimination is a separate issue from defining marriage as a heterosexual union, the definition she doesn't see to be homophobic. The meme this week is a parody video about Speaker Irakli Kobakhidze based on an Italian Dolce & Gabbana men's perfume ad. The original ad shows actor Kit Harington, who allegedly resembles Kobakhidze, kissing Italian villagers and dancing around the street. Parody is a short montage of the speaker kissing other political figures set to the same music, which is, by the way, the Tapilpod.com theme song. We're not credited. Oh, well. Caucus's Resource Research Center released a survey on retirement planning, which is relevant as the Georgian government will announce its reformed pension system this October. The new system will allow for employer contributions as well as universal systems. Currently, about half of Georgians pay to rely on the state system, 31% on their children, and 27% don't know or haven't thought about it. Two long-term residents in Georgia published accounts of bad experiences with the police. A regular writer for Georgia Today reported a poorly handled drunk driving collision in Svaneti. In his account, the drivers of the oncoming car physically and verbally assaulted him and tried to intimidate him from calling the police. Once the police arrived, he alleges they intentionally destroyed evidence of drunk driving and only gave the men a minimal fine for causing the accident. The second incident occurred at a border crossing where the head of ICET, the economics program, returned to Georgia, was caught with an unpaid 10 lari parking violation. For this, he faced hefty fines, had his car impounded on the spot, causing a long list of inconveniences for himself and his family. He argues that the brutality in Georgian criminal justice, while once necessary to remove corruption, is no longer necessary and has other seriously damaging consequences. All this stuff to read is posted on our forum. This week's dive bar number is 281. That is allegedly the number of Georgian women sent to the gulag under Stalin, although my guess is it's a lot more than that. The lives of some of these women are being depicted in a new play called Algeri. It was performed in Batumi on the 6th of September and Chiyatuda on the 9th. Prospero's co-founder and writer Peter Naismith is launching an expanded edition of his book titled Georgia, the Mountains of Poetry. It's a history of post-Soviet Georgia's politics and culture. The new edition includes South Ossetia and an interview with Bizina. There'll be an event on the 21st of September at Stanford's Travel Bookshop in central-most London. Writer Eric Lee will launch his new book, The Experiment, at Prospero's on the 14th of September and will give a short talk. The book discusses the rise and fall of Georgia's democratic socialist government between 1918 and 1921. This is a very, very interesting period and should be a good book, so go if you can and are in Tbilisi. This book is a very big deal for those who follow Georgian history. British Georgian Society is hosting the Rustavi Choir on the 30th of September at the British Library in London. Ambassador Tamar Berutashvili and singer Katie Melowa will also be in attendance. There'll be a wide variety of lectures in the afternoon. Tickets are available online. CRC has opened a competition for articles to include in the 2017 Caucuses Barometer data set, which surveys political attitudes in the region. Authors with selected articles will be compensated $500. The deadline for submission is December 15th. Any journalist or aspiring journalist should look carefully at this. Data-driven journalism is a big thing. This will be a big feather in everybody's cap, and they will give you access to the raw data to run cross-tabs and that sort of thing. The Georgian National Museum opened a new exhibition called The Border Without Borders, which focuses on the fuzzy division between Europe and Asia. It's put on by the Goethe Institute and part of the ongoing series of events marking 25 years of Georgian-German friendship. The exhibition is open until the 20th of September. It looks very interesting. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email is tapilpod@gmail.com. Or post to the forum on our website, www.tapilpod.com. And we will finish with, from 1992, from London. This is Stereo MC and Connected.
Some